Thankful again we come and we worship God. It's quiet without the kids in here. Isn't it nice to know that they are entrusted to individuals that are also enhancing their learning and they're drawing closer to Jesus? And we sang that last song about praising the Lord, and that's what we heard about this morning, praising God. And that's, hymn writer said, with might and with wisdom. And so we just pray this afternoon we might again continue to learn as we were taught this morning about the wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus Christ and what he has done for each and every one of us. And we look to him, the association that we have with him, and that should really even humble us to know that each one of us have that association and that relationship with the greatest name, regardless of other people with great names, because the names of that Brother Eric mentioned this morning, that's going to long be forgotten here in another few years, and let alone in another generation. But the name of Jesus Christ, who we're associated with, who's our Lord and our Savior, our brother, we're just so thankful that we have that association. We praise God for that, and again, we just look to his word, believing that he can teach us again this afternoon as we share from this wonderful book, the Bible. So let us just look at the book of Proverbs. It just seems that's what it's opened up to here this afternoon, and which is, again, a wonderful example of contrast that we need to look as we even evaluate our lives as far as where we are and which one of those two that we will see, one positive usually and one negative, is which is pointed out in so many of the chapters that we look at. But we'll just begin here with chapter 27 in Proverbs. Chapter 27 in Proverbs, where we're taught about, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy and sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make thy heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are punished. And I've read 12 verses, I think, which just give us some real good foundation for practical everyday lives. And that's why we come to church on the Lord's Day. You know, we come to church, as we said, to praise him. We do that in song. We come to church this morning to learn, as we were very amply taught here this morning from God's word there in Philippians. And again now this afternoon, it just things that the nature of man, God knows. God knows our nature, and I don't think any of us in this room can say that we have total control of this flesh that we possess. This flesh which will get us in trouble, but the good news about this flesh that we possess is God gives us something better to rein in that flesh, or to be the governor of our flesh, and that is the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And that's why we're here this afternoon again, to see about how that the Holy Spirit, it can remain, and what we need to do to keep it active in our lives so we can fulfill the teachings we heard about this morning and also inspire us to go forth tomorrow in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that He's going to lead us. Because none of us know, even the very first thing we talked about, boast not thyself about tomorrow. James says in another place we should say, if the Lord wills. And so many times we are so almost set in concrete in our mind what's going to happen, but we need to always remember, none of us know what the future holds. We are in God's hands, and we certainly don't know what a day may bring forth. The problem is this. There's been a lot of times we've thought about tomorrow, and what we thought about did come forth. But we need to recognize not every day, not every tomorrow, not every plan for tomorrow is always going to be fulfilled the way we think it is. We thank God when it does, but when it doesn't, we need to accept it as His will, and there's a reason and a purpose that happens even in our lives. So may we just be grateful that that's who we serve, that's who we're committed to, the one who died and shed His blood, made it the greatest sacrifice that we might have a home in heaven someday. And so what else can we do but to sacrifice our lives so others' lives might be better? That is a self-sacrifice that we give. And to do that, we need to let our whole life be an offering to God and Christ the Lord, as we sing in number 159. Let's commune with our God in prayer. We count it a privilege to commune with our great God in heaven. We count it a privilege, Lord, to pray unto thee, to give thanks, to connect, because we know the connection will go through. And we are so thankful for that, because each one of us that are here this afternoon have come to continue to learn from thy word, believing that thou, God, will give unto us instruction that will be from a book that we've read many times, perhaps a chapter that we've read many times, Heavenly Father, but there's no end to that instruction. It's not like we take the Bible, or like we take a lot of books. Let's backtrack a little. We take a lot of books, and we progress from one book to another. But when we think about this Bible, it is a resource that is unending, and we're so thankful and grateful for it. It's that, because it's always amazing to see how thou dost open up various thoughts and various channels in our minds about how we can further be drawn closer to thee and be further used as a mighty instrument in thy service. So, Lord, we pray for now for the presence of thy Holy Spirit this afternoon, that thou would be in our midst. Thou dost know the needs of each one here. Thou dost know the desires, the love that each one has in their heart, and we can't help but believe that everyone here wants to love thee even more. So, Lord, we thank thee above all. The reason we want to love thee even more, because what thou hast done for us in the sending of thy Son Jesus, we're just grateful for salvation. We're thankful that he came to this world to die and shed his blood, and we have the faith to believe in the power of that blood that covers our sin, and that's what we want for all people that we know. And this afternoon, we're just thankful and grateful that our young people are in Sunday school and they're learning about life and the impact that Jesus Christ can have on their lives, and we know that there's many there that have made a beginning and are serving thee, and they might even continue to grow as they have instruction given unto them. And we pray for their teachers, Heavenly Father, they'd all have the heart of each one in their mind, Father, and also have a burden. Not only they, but all of us have a burden for those that we know that are lost. And may we be mindful how important it is we pray for them. And Lord, so just bless those efforts this afternoon in this Sunday school here, and also wherever the word has been taught or will be taught later around the wide globe today and always. And we know we have a lot of people in foreign lands and foreign missions, we pray for them, Heavenly Father. We pray for those that are maybe in sickness and in illness and lost loved ones. Provide for them, and just we lift them all up at this point in time in prayer. It's too numerous even for all of us to mention, but we know that thou dost know who they are. Again, bless this church for the love and the hospitality that they always extend as we visit here. Also bless the love that they have shared with my own family, Heavenly Father, as they worship here. And may each one of them continue to be useful instruments for thee, Almighty God. Bless the leadership of this church, Heavenly Father, Brother Ken and his responsibilities, and those that minister audibly, as well as those from the pews that also have powerful sermons that they portray each and every day that they go and brighten whatever corner in the world thou dost lead them. So many other things that we could pray for, we just now again pray, come and be in our midst. May we feel the might and the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. What did we do with that? I'm sorry. Let's look further in the New Testament. And as we have opened up here to some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and I think We might just turn from where we've opened up to, because it's in those series which you are going through in your Bible study. Let's turn to Timothy, because, you know, that's what God wants all of us, to be instructors, and that would actually be appropriate, it seems, to read from that this afternoon. Let's just look at 2 Timothy, a few verses there. A few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul is speaking here to Timothy, who he had a great relationship with. He says that he was as his beloved son, so we can sense a close relationship, such as we have those close relationships with various people in our own lives. And what he wished for Timothy, and what's what God wishes for each one of us this afternoon. And you think about those three words, grace and mercy and peace. And so this afternoon, do you feel all those? Do you feel the grace of God? That each one of us are what we are only by the grace of God? And we have that, if we have that relationship with Him, how do we feel about ourselves and where we're at? We have that peace. Peace knowing that if we died today, we're going to be in heaven with God forever and all eternity. That's what is so wonderful. And then we also know that as we have that peace, it assures because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that because we have this flesh, and even though we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't always tap into it as deeply as we should, that we falter and fail, and this thing called Satan is still around, and there may be sin in our life, and we are thankful for His mercy. And so I hope and pray today that all of us understand when Paul was saying that to Timothy, God is saying, and we say that to each one of us today, do we have those gifts that God gives? He wants all of us to have it, and we can all have it, not in a meager form, but in abundant form as his children. We can ask for more and more. You know, it's not like, you start passing out candy to kids. You know, and what do they want? They want more. They want maybe the biggest piece. Well, we can all have the biggest piece of God's grace and receive His mercy and this peace that He gives unto us. And Paul told Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And this morning we were reminded of, when we read about Philippians, there is there joy, joy in our heart. And that is what Paul is talking about here, about his relationship with Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher, for the which cause I suffer thee. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love which is in Christ, that thou that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And I've read 14 verses here of the chapter of Second Timothy. So as we look at God's word this afternoon, And we are just grateful for the practicality of it all, even as we read about boasting. Because, you know, a lot of times it's easy to pat yourself on the back. You know, it's like someone said once, you pat yourself too much on the back, you're going to break your back. And so he says, let somebody else praise you. When someone gives us a compliment, does that mean that we should say, oh, no, no, no. No, we should be thankful for a compliment and thank somebody and say we are thankful that we are a servant of God, or we praise God for that we can be used. We can. That doesn't mean we can't accept compliments, but we don't have to initiate of who we are. We don't have to toot our own horn. What's more important to let our light shine than toot our horn? That's for sure. As a child of God, we need to proclaim the word. But when we toot our horn many, many times, what's it do? It brings attention. It brings attention to ourselves. You know, it's like if you are in traffic and somebody toots your horn at you, what it's mean? They say they want you to know you about hit them, or some reason or other they're tooting their horn that they want you to know that you're there. And as a child of God, we need to let our light shine in the service of God. Let others praise thee, not thy own mouth. And he just simply then mentions not only in our tongue and what we say, but he's also talking about the emotions that all of us have. And there is anyone here who don't have emotions. We all have them. And that emotion that we need to always share, and whether that's emotion or however you classify it, is the love of Jesus Christ. Because Satan has something that we all possess, and we'd all like to get rid of it, but we can't get rid of it. It's this thing called anger. And he's talking about how you can classify anger. He compares it to a stone, which we know is heavy. You pick up a stone or you throw a rock at somebody, it's heavy. It's going to hurt them. Sand itself is weighty. It says, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And so a lot of times we have this emotion of anger that can get us in trouble. And the Bible talks about, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So God knows we're going to have it. The important thing is if we do commit anger, we need to ask for forgiveness. The problem is sometimes I think people treat that about not letting the sun go down upon your wrath. They're like in Alaska in the summertime. The sun never goes down. And so we need to let make things right when we are wrong, because it says wrath is cruel. And it doesn't say anger is, that's something you have. Is that what the Bible says? Because a lot of times people say that. Well, you know, I've just got a hot temper. My dad had a hot temper. It's in the genes. Now, wait a minute. That's a lame excuse, because the Bible simply says anger is not inherent. It says it is outrageous, and we certainly are not to do that. And so those are just some wise teachings that we can share with us this afternoon that are meaningful, I think, in every one of you that are here today, that we keep all those things under control, and they can be under control when we submit to God and pray each day for the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. That we recognize, just as Paul had that loving relationship with Timothy, God has that same feeling, and that's what he is teaching us today, that we have that relationship with him. Because Paul was a man had made great sacrifices. He said he served God with a pure conscience. And he also says that with Timothy, he says, I pray for you. And all of us need to be mindful of how many other people we pray for. You know, it's easy as we begin a day to pray for certain things that may be happening in our lives, but let's always remember to also, other people are need of prayer. People that are children of God, And then I ask you, how about people you know that don't believe in Jesus Christ? Do you pray for them? And we need to do that by name with the same fervency that Paul had. This is a teaching that Paul, we have shared with us, but it's one that we need to learn. We learn from that. We, and Paul had a great desire to see Timothy. He says that, when I do see you, I'm filled with tears whenever I think about you. And he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And this afternoon we're here today to be mindful that God wants to keep stirred up within us the gift that we have. What's the gift you have? You have the promise of life eternal. You've got the joy of Jesus Christ in your heart. And that needs to continually be stirred up. Because, you know, when it isn't stirred up, it's not reflected. It does not make us be who we are. You know, it's like the old teaching about chocolate milk. We had a lesson about coffee. I don't drink coffee, so let's talk about chocolate milk this afternoon. You take a glass of milk, and then you pour the chocolate in, and what happens? The chocolate falls to the bottom. You still don't have chocolate milk. It's got to be stirred up. And that's the way it is as we become children of God, that we have that promise of life eternal, and we have that power of the Holy Spirit to keep us lit up so that, you know, when you think about it, and we are lit up and we are on fire. Now, I realize everybody's personality is different, and some may say, well, you are more outgoing than I am, but that doesn't make any difference. When we are on fire of the Lord, we don't have to make, as I mentioned, we don't have to toot our horn, we don't have to make a lot of noise, but when something is on fire, what does it give? You know, it's like my grandkids, it's great, you know, they love to get by the fireplace. And so when we are on fire for the Lord, even though we're not maybe making a lot of noise, but people want to be close to us, and we can only do that when that gift is stirred up. And just then, when you stir that chocolate in the bottom, then you have the chocolate milk. Otherwise, you've got milk, and if we don't stir up that gift within us, who are we? Are we really what God wants us to be? Are we really on fire for the Lord? Are we really reflecting Jesus Christ? Yes, we need to be contented. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. But we need to remember that God has given us this spirit that we can go forward. We can go forward marching onward as Christian soldiers. We're in a warfare. I know that may sound negative. We need to talk about positive because we got a great thing to talk about. And that's eternal life in heaven. But let's be realistic. There is evil abounding. And Brother Ken and I can talk just coming back from the Elder Conference. It is always wonderful and uplifting when we think about the future and the vision of our church and the opportunities we have. But we're also reminded, as we spend an evening talking about how Satan has penetrated and ruined the lives of a number of people with his very deceitful tactics of various forms, ruining young people's and older people's lives through media today over the internet that is full of all kinds of evil, destroying relationships between brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. We're not exempt. So Satan is there. But the good news is, and we need to always remember this, is greater is he that's within us, that's he that is in the world. And it's going to be great if we keep in tune with the Lord, if we keep digesting and receiving and drinking from this fount of living water, we will keep up that gift. We will keep up stirred within us the gift that we have, the promise of life eternal, that we can reflect that of Jesus Christ. Because God has given us power. Think about it. We have power. You know, some people strive for power. You know, and the power that people strive for is eventually lost. I don't care who's ever been born in this earth, and we can talk about who some of the most powerful men have ever been in history. But, you know, eventually that was all lost. What we have is a power that's not going to be lost. Not going to be lost, and it is going to be, it can be preserved until the day of our redemption because of the saving, the faith that we believe in, this blood of Jesus Christ. That's what our faith is. That's that gives us power. And he gives us love. And he gives us, we have a sound mind. And he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's being realistic here, telling Timothy, that you're not going to be on an easy street to heaven, and none of us really are. That we are thankful, we're proud to be a Christian. You know, what is the song the kids used to sing? I'm happy and you know it, clap your hands, and whatever that is. And I hope if we're happy and we know it, we certainly let our light shine. Because that's a testimony that we share. Paul looked at himself, he said, as a prisoner of the Lord. And when we think about a prisoner right now, I'm sure all of us, I ask you, what do you think about a prisoner? And the very first thing you're going to say is, that sounds pretty negative because you're being incarcerated, you're in captivity, and you're served, especially if you misbehave, and your bread and water and very meager rations, although it's amazing to me how some of these big corporate big wigs that have committed all kinds of white-collar crime, they get to choose what prison they go to, so which is nice to serve. Well, you know, but by and large, prisons aren't a happy place to be. But we think about a prisoner of Jesus Christ, that's who we belong to. That's the relationship that we have. We're under his, because a prisoner is under the control of the guardian of that prison, whoever is guarding him. When we think about Jesus Christ and a prisoner of Jesus Christ, we think of it in a positive sense, knowing that we are under his control if we let him. Prisoners, obviously, try to escape. With various means, deceitful means that they want to escape. As a prisoner of Jesus Christ, we have no desire to escape from him. We're just thankful for that relationship that we have with him, because what's he done? Paul tells Timothy, he saved us and he's called us to a holy calling. Did we deserve it? No, none of you deserved what you have. He says, not according to your works, but according to his purpose and his grace that he's given unto us way back before the world began. Paul says, I'm a preacher. I'm also an apostle. I'm a teacher. And that's what each one of you are. That's what each one of us are. We're diversified instruments in God's service. He calls us to various ways to do that. And again, let's always remember every time we hear a message about that, and we talk about being on fire for the Lord, we talk about using our gifts, the Bible says it's not wise to compare yourself among yourselves. That is unwise. And to say, well, he can stand up there and he can preach and he can say all that. But all of us have the ability in our own way, in our own gifts. It doesn't mean it has to be projected exactly like someone else, but it's a gift that God has given unto us. Paul says, is it easy? He says, I suffer. Nevertheless, despite being that, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believe it. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love in Jesus Christ, that good thing which was committed unto thee, kept by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth within us. That's who we serve. That's the God in heaven that we serve, the God that we can't even hardly fathom, the greatness of God, the creator of the universe, the God who knows everything about you right now. And You know, it just seems to me, so we can fault and we can criticize, you know, technology. And, you know, but we can also learn from it and see about what man has created. But how much greater is even God than that? You know, I think about, you know, you think about, and I'm not very techie, but, you know, you take a cell phone and all you have to do is punch a button and you ask Siri, you know, some question. And I'm convinced right now if all of us took out our cell phones and asked Siri, there's, what are there, 60, 80 people in here, we'd all get 60, 80 answers, the right answer just like that. Now, if the man has created something that can do that, think about God. Think about, he's not just got a few things about knowledge that that person has, that however that all works, it's beyond me. But we think about God in heaven who has the whole universe. The whole, not only the universe, let's talk just about the earth. He has all that under his control, and people can turn to him just as instantly as we can push a button, get an answer, and communicate. That's the relationship that we all can have. And is that, and I ask you this afternoon, is that the relationship you have with your Almighty God? It is, if you're keeping that gift stirred up and the Holy Spirit working within you, and you're reflecting Jesus Christ and walking with him, and he's given you the power to overcome sin. Sin's out there, but we can overcome. That's the power that we have. And the important thing is, God wants us to use it.
Submission. Sounds a lot better in church than it does at home or at work, don't you think? And the power, I love the, I am a coffee drinker, but I actually love the chocolate milk analogy, that to shake up, our Brie doesn't like, they're trying to get her off cow's milk to almond milk, and it's not very sweet, so we shake up honey in it. So the shaking up of the Spirit, the power. But I think just so beautiful, the topic of submission and leaning on God's power. Just for a few minutes, want to run through some of my thoughts. And so submitting at home, I quickly thought of, you know, when we're younger, we don't think about, as we get older, we're going to be in a leadership position. So now I'm a dad. And I remember when I got married, I had that moment where I opened the fridge and I saw the orange juice or whatever. And I thought, now I had to, I couldn't, when I was a kid, I couldn't take the carton and drink out of it, right? It was against the rules. But now I'm in a leadership role. I just drink out of the carton. Do we transfer, as we grow old and we get in a leadership role, do we use that role to benefit ourselves? And it, to me, it's always been weird. There's a, you take a scriptural truth you've known, like submit and service, being a servant, Christ example. You take that, but as I move through the, I move into new phases of life, now I'm done with school, and at work, I have more leadership roles. It's like I have to learn again what submission means. I hear a sermon and it says, do you use your position, your power for yourself? So now there's a tension. If I'm writing a, say we're writing a paper we want to publish. If you're writing a paper, you want to be the first author, right? So then as you read, it says, prostate cancer and Baylor et al. And 2000, right? You want to be the first author, but submitting in service would say maybe the med student, these are some person, so this is personal struggle. Maybe the med, maybe the resident, maybe the fellow should be the first author. And I should be, just applying this to each phase of my life has been more difficult than I thought. I thought in the young group, I sort of had figured out what submission was, and I didn't. But then as soon as I had my own home and my own fridge, I drank out of my own orange juice. Maybe I should ask Elisa what she thinks, if that's popular in her mind, drinking out of the orange juice bottle. Submission as you get... It's easy to think of submission to government. It's all on the way here. Now, this is a tension because... No, I think I have to take the fault for all of this. Driving, I was driving a little bit fast because I know it makes Ken happy if I'm here on time. I don't think I can blame driving fast on Ken, right? I can't put that on him. So I went through a light, and all the kids in unison said, "See, Mom, we told you that Dad drives through red lights." And it's a real... So I said, "Well, that was kind of a yellow light." And Livy said, "That was a pink light." But it's easy to think that we're above, right? And I have endless driving stories, so we'll stop there. I was talking with a believer, and this one strikes home. His wife came to him and asked him to change his work because it was, and this could be the other way too. Whoever's in career and that your spouse comes and says, probably for your good, probably it's really for you, but came and said, something has to change, and he did. I was hoping the story would maybe end differently, but he did change. He stopped where he... And there was a lot of tension, a lot of stress involved, but... So then the question comes, if we submit, will God take care of us? Okay, 12:58. Will God take care of us? And I love the Philippians. I loved this verse. I think describes the tension. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, as a good Swiss German, I love that verse. But I hate that verse because with fear and trembling, right? And I know that John says perfect love casts out fear. And as you grow in a relationship with God, I think that changes. You start out with a fear and a reverence where you want you fear the consequences. You start building a relationship. And I love verse 13, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And I have to say the most beautiful moments in my life have been when I've cried out to God and asked him to change my heart, change my will. If we're honest, none of us are going to submit. If you have an opportunity for a promotion, if you have an opportunity to get ahead at work, what do you think our ability is to put somebody else or allow somebody else to have that? And our hearts are so ugly. So I love how Paul here says, no, we look to God even to have the will to do what's right. And I love Paul in Romans 7. He says, and he mentions that tension, right? Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, I would want to do certain things, but I watch inside myself. And then the solution. So I want to end with, I talked about the power of the Spirit, the power that we have. And do we believe that God gives us that power to overcome? Are you in a spot where, I think one of those beautiful things is to decide what you ought to do, what the right thing to do is. Submission. How should you submit to our spouse, to Ken, to, and then try and do it. Or even start with something, love your neighbor, and then try and do it, and how hard it is. And then the question becomes, can we trust God, the Spirit, to change, to give us the power to do it? If we're stuck in an addiction, if we're stuck in a sin. And I wanted to just finish with a quote. And I loved how Eric talked about the difference between Satan's view and God's view of submission or service. I just love that. He talked about how Satan consumes. And so this is the devil speaking. To us, a human is primarily food, meaning to the devil's. Our aim is the absorption of its will into ours, the increase of our own area of selfhood at its expense. That would be Satan's idea of a relationship with us, to consume us. We lose our identity. But the obedience which the enemy demands of men is a quite different thing. meaning the obedience that God demands is a different thing. One must face the fact that all the talk about God's love for men, his service being perfect freedom, is not, as we would believe, mere propaganda, but it's an appalling truth. God really does want to fill the universe with a lot of loathsome little replicas of himself. Creatures whose life on a miniature scale will be like his own, not because he has absorbed them, but because their wills freely conform to his. We, Satan, wants cattle who can finally become food. He, or God, wants servants who can finally become sons. Song. Is there ask for a song now?
Let's sing 266. Hymns of Zion, 266.
Before your throne, O God, we come. Thankful, Lord, lucky, truly, privileged that we can approach you corporately, individually, personally, God, and speak with you. I pray, Lord, that we would not only speak, but that we would listen, that we would be still and know that you're God. Dear Lord, today we heard how tomorrow, God, you truly hold and we can't even see. But we know that in one hand you may hold tomorrow, but with the other you hold us, God. And I pray that we would not look past that, but that we would just simply cling on to you, God. Please stir us up. Give us your Holy Spirit, Lord. And not only that, give us the means to interpret your Holy Spirit, the means to live so vibrantly, God, within you, that people can't help but gather around us, God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding. And I think it is just how neat that in the Gospel of John, God, you speak of yourself as the Word itself. Word, language, that which man has derived meaning from. The way that we make sense of the world, God, you claim to be. It's not just a word picture, it's a reality, it's a truth, God. That all meaning and all understanding comes through you, comes through your Son, who you sent down to die upon the cross for our sins. The perfect dichotomy, God, in between a divine God that also became a man akin to all of our sorrows, to all of our sin, that took on the sin of the world, Lord, and still remained divine and imparted all of that upon us, Lord. We thank you so much for that salvation. I pray that we would understand it. I pray that it would stir up inside of us a change, God, a righteousness that is not only within ourselves, not that hardens us, not that makes us soft or mushy, but, God, that just pours out from our beings, Lord, into your world for your kingdom, God. For we have no other purpose than this, than to seek after your kingdom wholeheartedly. So I pray that for our nation, for our church, for our lives individually, God. I thank you so much for the message today. I thank you for this church, for the time that we could have, God. I pray for our fellowship. I pray for our unity, Lord. And that's not to convince our unity with uniformity, God, but to know that we're a moving body and you're a moving God, alive in this world, alive in your word and in the Bible, God. I thank you and I praise you for this. Thank you, and I can't wait till Wednesday night when we all can be together, Lord, around your word. But in the times in between, Lord, please help us not to lose focus and to seek after you with our whole hearts. In your name, amen.